Maybe you've heard the three Latin words, homo viator. This was coined by a great French philosopher. It says, man is on his way to a destiny. And we're going to study Israel from Egypt to Canaan. They were also homo viator, on their destiny. But along the way, they met a lot of obstacles. God was trying to tell the world what his character was like. And he used the Jews, the Israelites, to explain this to the world, ancient world, which was polytheistic. For instance, they were going to meet some strange gods. They learned a lot about the gods in Egypt, but on their way, they're going to meet gods like Baal and Marduk. And they will have to compare the God of Israel with all the idols. You and I are also homo viator, on a destiny. We have to confront every obstacle on our way. And may God help us to learn lessons as we follow Israel traveling through the deserts from Egypt to Canaan. Only after Israel arrived at Sinai was the tabernacle erected. So they had no visible objects of how the salvation of God works. So only after they arrived at Sinai, God erected the tabernacle. And the sacred structure was set up at the opening of the second year of the Exodus. This was followed by the consecration of the priests. This was a beautiful ceremony. The celebration of the Passover, the numbering of the people, and the completion of various arrangements essential to their civil and religious system. God is very systematic. He's a perfectionist. And he challenges us to aim high, spiritually and otherwise. Here their worship had taken a more definite form. The laws had been given for the government of the nation, and a more efficient organization had been effected preparatory to the entrance into the land of Canaan. The government of Israel was characterized by the most thorough organization, wonderful in its completeness and in its simplicity. This is a tremendous study to discover more about our God. From the elders of the tribes, a council of 70 was afterwards chosen to assist Moses in the general affairs of the nation. The Hebrew camp was arranged in exact order. No chaos, exact order. It was separated in three great divisions, each having its appointed position in the encampment. The center of the camp, in the center of the camp, was the tabernacle. There you see it. The abiding place of the invisible king. What a thought. God tabernacled with his people, and he wants to tabernacle with you and me. So here you have the tent of meeting. Around it were stationed the priests and the Levites. It's almost like a circle. There you have them. One, two. Beyond these were encamped all the other tribes. It is such a master plan. Ephraim, and you can read the different names of the tribes here. There you've got them. To the Levites was committed the charge of the tabernacle, the physical side, and all that pertained thereunto, both in the camp and on the journey. They had a job description. Everything was planned by the master brain of God. When the camp moved forward, they were to strike the sacred tent. lifted up. And when they reached their destination, what were they to do? They were to set it up again. No person of another tribe was allowed to come near it on pain of death. God is holy and we have to respect him. The Levites were separated into three divisions. The descendants of the three sons of Levi, fantastic organization, and each was assigned its special position and work. In front of the tabernacle and nearest to it were the tents of Moses and Aaron. Here you've got the scheme, the organogram. Just look at this. It was even more illustrious, literally. This is just a sketch. So Moses lived here. On the south were the Kohites, whose duty it was to care for the ark and the other furniture. There you have the Kohites. We're going to pick up this man a little later. It's a very sad story. He lived so close to the presence of God and Moses, and he became a rebel. The Merarites on the north, who were placed in charge of the pillars, sockets, boards, etc. There you've got the arrow, which points their location. The Gershonites in the rear, to whom the care of the curtains and hangings was committed. They had to do it perfectly. God wants us to be meticulously full of order. The position of each tribe was specified. You couldn't live everywhere you wanted. There was order. Each was to march and to encamp beside its own standard. They had a huge standard for each tribe, as the Lord had commanded. They had to follow the instructions very meticulously. Every one of the children of Israel shall camp by his own standard. A kind of separation. God doesn't want us to lose our identity. Beside the emblems of his father's house, they shall camp some distance from the tabernacle of meeting. This is such a wonderful study, giving us insight in God's orderliness. And the tabernacle of meeting shall move out with the camp of the Levites in the middle of the camps. As they camp, so they shall move out, every one in his place, by their standards. Numbers 2 verse 17. If you follow God's commandments, you will not have clashes. Where were the mixed multitudes supposed to camp? This is very interesting. They accompanied Israel from Egypt, but were not permitted to occupy the same quarters with the tribes. Why? They were to stay upon the outskirts of the camp, and their offspring were to be excluded from the community until the third generation. You know, don't accept people just like this. They have to go through a screening process. Thorough sanitary regulations were also enforced. Every person who was unclean from any cause was forbidden to enter the camp. And that's logic. So the great doctor, God, had his rules. Scrupulous cleanliness, as well as strict order throughout the encampment and its environs, was enjoined. Why? I love the way God communicates with us. And I've learned so many lessons in this specific lecture. These measures were indispensable to the preservation of health. God has got a health message. Among so vast a multitude, 2 million of them. And it was necessary also to perfect order and purity be maintained, that Israel might enjoy the presence of a holy God. If your life is in chaos, you cannot enjoy the presence of God. Deuteronomy 23 verse 14. For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp and in our lives as well. To deliver you, beautiful word, deliver you, and give your enemies over to you. Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you. Do not allow any unclean thought to enter your mind. What does my life look like? My office, my car? God wants us to be perfectionists in a certain way. You know, while looking at this replica, I found this in Israel in the desert. A lady erected it. Replica of the sacred Ark of the Covenant. I thought of Moses. He was such a great man. The greatest leader, poet, lawgiver, and historian of antiquity. God used the greatest genius to help him in the Exodus. So it was, whenever the ark set out, Moses said, and this was conveyed by people carrying on the message, because there were 2 million, "Rise up, O Lord," because the Lord was in their midst through the tabernacle. "Rise up, O Lord. Let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." What a prayer. And God wants to pray for you and me as well. And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel." Do you pray before you drive? It is so important. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all its furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath, we looked at Kohath just a minute ago, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. Each one had its duty. Numbers 4 verse 15. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. Born by the sons of Kohath, the sacred chest containing God's holy law was to lead the van. Perfect order. Before it went Moses and Aaron, can you see them? The picture shows it. And the priests bearing silver trumpets were stationed near. What a procession. And remember, people from the other nations saw this procession. In perfect order. What were the functions of the trumpets? Now the priests received messages from Moses, which had to be conveyed to the people through the sounds of the trumpets. Different sounds meant different orders. They were brilliant, and God has designed all this. It was the duty of the leaders of each company to give definite directions concerning all the movements to be made, as indicated by the trumpets. By the way, one of these days, angels are going to blow on those trumpets when Jesus comes, and you will find different messages. Negligence could mean death. We cannot afford to disobey. It means death. Everything connected with heaven is in perfect order. Subjection and thorough discipline mark the movements of the angelic hosts. And if my life is in a chaos, they wouldn't know what to do. I've learned so many lessons here. My office looks a little better after I've researched this lecture. Success can only attend order and harmonious action. Are there lessons to be learned from this, my dear friend? What does our offices, our workplace, and homes look like? Are we organized in executing our duties? This is religion. Let's work on this. All who are working for him, especially, are to labor intelligently, not in a careless, haphazard manner. Do you keep a diary? Keep it. Be organized. He would have his work done with faith and exactness, that he may place the seal of his approval on it. The place of the encampment was indicated by the descent of the pillar of cloud. So they knew exactly where they're going to camp. You know, God himself directed the Israelites in all their travels. My dear friend, our loving God wants to direct us in life's travels. Allow him to do it. And so long as they were to remain in camp, the cloud rested over the tabernacle. Perfect organization. It seems to me that this old man has a hard time walking in the desert where Israel walked. Hope he is not murmuring because he's struggling to get up this mountain. Murmuring is bad. Our travels through life's deserts of pain and disappointments are much more difficult and dangerous if we complain. Advice: a distance of 11 days' journey lay between Sinai and Kadesh on the borders of Canaan. Can you see the 2 million people move on? And it was with the prospect of speedily entering the goodly land that the hosts of Israel resumed their march. Here they go. You know, sometimes we start a journey with expectations, with joy. But the journeys of life, my dear friend, has got challenges. Suddenly the cloud, the ancient GPS, gave signal for an onward movement. God had wrought wonders in bringing them from Egypt. What blessings can they expect now that they had formally covenanted, promised to accept him as their sovereign God? What can they expect? You know, it was with reluctance that they left the place where they had been so long. It was like home. You know, in psychology, they teach you that the number one stress factor is death. Then comes divorce. And then relocating. So these poor people were stressed. You know, when you look at this part, you can have a little sympathy with them. For the first time, they rested for about a year. The other camps had come and go, come and gone. Now they had to move. Let's follow them as they move. Within the shelter of those granite walls, God had gathered his people apart from all other nations to repeat to them his holy law, his character. No ancient law code is so gracious and so perfect as God's law. I studied the law code of Ur-Nammu, Urak-Achina, and a few others. They don't compare to God's law. And he was going to bless them when they obey. They love to look upon the sacred mount on whose hoary peaks and barren ridges the divine glory had so often been displayed. And every time they looked at the mountains, the events came back to them. It was a precious place for them. The scene was so closely associated with the presence of God and his holy angels that it seemed too sacred to be left thoughtlessly or even gladly. Isn't this marvelous? At the signal from the trumpeters, however, the entire camp moved forward with a tabernacle in the middle. Now each tribe was in its appointed position and under its own standard, as I mentioned in the beginning. All eyes were turned anxiously to see what direction the cloud would lead. What happened when the journey became challenging? Are you on a challenging part of your journey? Let's see. As it moved toward the east, where they only saw mountain masses huddled together, black and desolate, a feeling of sadness and doubt arose in many hearts. Their route lay through stony and ravine and barren waste. All around them was the great wilderness, a land of deserts and of pits, a land of drought and of the shadow of death, a land that no man passed through and where no man dwelt. A lone journey with its ugly surroundings. Are you at this stage on a journey with ugly surroundings? The rocky gorges, far and near, were thronged with men, women and children, with beasts and wagons, and long lines of flocks and herds. Can you see the procession? It was a grand and impressive scene. Their progress was necessarily slow and toilsome, and the multitudes, now here comes a problem, and the multitudes, after their long encampment, were not prepared to endure the perils and discomforts of the way. You know, our comfort zones in life can suddenly change. Are you prepared for that? Because it's coming. Loretta is asking her father a question. We traveled together. She says, "What is the current condition of the road on which you are traveling, Dad?" She can read my body language when the road is rough. And she's asking you, what's the road like that you're traveling on right now? After 3 days' journey, open complaints was heard. You know, and this is contagious. These originated with a mixed multitude. And by the way, as I said, they were encamped outside the main camp, many of whom were not fully united with Israel and were continually watching for some cause of censure. Do you know such people? Always criticizing, always finding fault. God is patient. Do you know people like this? Look at this man. Are you perhaps a fault finder? The complainers were not pleased with the direction of the march. Are you pleased with the direction in which God is leading you, my dear friend? They were continually finding fault with the way in which Moses was leading them. Remember, God was leading them, and God is leading us. Don't forget it. Though they well knew that he as well as they was following the guiding cloud, the satisfaction is contagious. Have you discovered this? And it soon spread in the encampment. Be careful how you complain to people. It's contagious. Can you believe it? Delivered from slavery, on their way to the promised land and complaining while they were marching to Zion. What about you and me marching to Zion? Now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it. He hears our complaints. And his anger was aroused. Anger, another word for that is sadness. He weeps. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Who lived at the outskirts of the camp? These unconverted Egyptians. Frightened by their own imagination, they began to predict all kinds of evils that would befall them. You know, most of the things that we anticipate never happens anyway. What about you and me? What about you and I? Do we waste time on disasters which may devastate us. Imaginations, negative imaginations. Don't destroy yourself by anticipating things that may never happen to you. Guess who were the instigators? Yes, you're right. Now, how did Moses feel about the rebels who were now destroyed? Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So the Lord called the name of the place Tabera, because of the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Tabera, the name comes from a verb meaning to burn, to consume, to exterminate. Now the mixed, what word would you put in there? Multitude, who were among them, yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat?" Numbers 11:4. We don't like to sing solos. We like to sing in a choir, more volume. So when the mixed multitude started their songs, Israelites joined them. Do you know some of these complaints collectors? They always collect complaints, finding fault. Are we scoring points on complaining? The mixed multitude, Hebrew ha, safsuf, repeating form from the verb asaf, to collect. Israel also wept. You know, we like to weep with people and laugh with people. It's so contagious. This became a pattern with the Israelites in moments of displeasure. Classical conditioning of Pavlov. Meat to eat. Meat to eat. I spoke to somebody, he said, "Man, I can discard all kinds of food, but don't take away my meat." Meat to eat. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, they were rich in cattle, but now they've ate about all the cattle. Again, they began to clamor for flesh to eat. Though abundantly supplied with manna, which kept them healthy, food from heaven, they were not satisfied. Godliness with contentment is a great gain. The Israelites, during their bondage in Egypt, had been compelled to subsist on the plainest and simplest food. But keen appetite, induced by privation and hard labor, had made it palatable. You know, the best cook is a good appetite. Hunger becomes the best cook when you are hungry. Many of the Egyptians, however, who were now among them, had been accustomed to luxurious diet. And these were the first to complain. The first to complain. And at the giving of the manna, just before Israel reached Sinai, the Lord had granted them flesh in answer to their clamors. For how long was it given? Just one day. God, the great chef, knows exactly what's got to be on the menu. God might easily have provided them with flesh as with manna, but the restriction was placed upon them for their own good. Don't consult your taste buds. Consult your brain at times. Too many people are buried today because they consulted the taste buds. It was his purpose to supply them with food better suited to their wants than the feverish diet to which many had become accustomed in Egypt. Here was a health message. The perverted appetite was to be brought into a more healthy state, that they might enjoy the food originally provided for man, the fruits of the earth, which God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was for this reason that the Israelites had been deprived in a great measure of animal food. Satan tempted them to regard this restriction as unjust and cruel. Don't listen to his voice. He caused them to lust after forbidden things. That's the devil. He saw that the unrestrained indulgence of appetite would tend to produce sensuality. This is serious. And by this means, the people could be more easily brought under his control. This is serious. The devil uses food to get his hold upon us. Be careful what you put into your stomach. The author of disease and misery will tempt us where he can have the greatest success, appetite. Through temptations focused on appetite, he has, to a large extent, led men into sin from the time he tempted Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Can you believe it? Food caused the downfall of the human race. How careful should we be? It was the same means that he led Israel to murmur against God. It leads to the indulgence of the lower passions and prepares the way for men to disregard the moral obligations. What I put in here has got an effect up here. What are the dangers of overindulgence? Look at all the junk foods. You know, this life is not a picnic. This is not a palace situation. This life is a preparation for a better life. Don't eat your way out of heaven. God brought Israel from Egypt that he might establish them in the land of Canaan, a pure, holy, and happy people. With this in mind, he subjected them to a course of discipline, both for their own good and for the good of their posterity. I learned such a lot during the preparation of this lecture. What promise was made to Israel here at the bitter waters of Marah? He said to them, none of these diseases would come upon them should they obey. Most diseases are caused by the food, kind of food we eat. Had they been willing to deny appetite in obedience to his wise restrictions, feebleness and disease would have been unknown among them. Can you believe this? That a healthy diet would guard you against sickness. Their descendants would have possessed both physical and mental strength. What a lesson. Please give the health message a second thought. They would have had clear perceptions of truth and duty, keen discrimination and sound judgment. So if I eat the wrong stuff, junk foods, I have a problem. My judgment is affected. But their unwillingness to submit to restrictions and requirements of God prevented them to a great extent from reaching the high standard which he desired them to attain and from receiving the blessings which he was ready to bestow upon them. Psalm 78 verse 20. Behold, he struck the rock. It's referring to the journey through the desert. So that waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? I wish I could taste the water and the bread from those days. God, can he provide meat for his people? Of course he can. Why didn't he do it? And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Psalm 78, verse 18 and 19. Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. Actually, disappointed, sad. Because he hasn't got our emotions, sinful emotions. So fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came up against Israel. Because they did not believe in God. And did not trust in his salvation. You cannot separate salvation and your eating habits. The devil is a master chef. But God is above him. For in pity for their ignorance and blindness, God had not then visited the sin with judgments. He's so great, gracious. Their murmuring was now rebellion at this stage. And as such, it must receive prompt and signal punishment. If Israel was to be preserved for anarchy and ruin, God revealed himself at Horeb. Now their behavior made them more guilty. The most guilty was slain by lightning from the cloud. Lessons to be learned. Don't destroy yourself by rebellious, persistent, and complaining, and by your health habits. In our next lecture, we are going to look at another very tragic and sad event. May God help us to seek him, not only with our hearts, but also with our stomachs and our lips. Father in heaven, the enemy has got a plan for our lives, but one that is disastrous. Thank you for having a plan for our lives, which is eternal happiness. Help us to overcome our bad eating habits. Help us to be strict in cleanliness. Help our thoughts to be organized. We need your help because we are flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.